96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. As D.C. changes, so does the business climate here. Higher rents, cost of living, gentrification, and more all have an impact on business, particularly small black-owned businesses. But what is that impact exactly? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it somewhere in between? Well, joining me to talk about this are Jamal Watkins, vice president of the D.C. chapter of the NAACP, and Bo Sampson, owner of the VIP room in Northeast D.C. We're talking about the business climate for black-owned businesses in the new D.C. Lines are open if you have a question or comment. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/HaroldFisherWHUR, or follow me on Twitter at DailyDrumWHUR or HFisherWHUR. Jamal and Bo, thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, man.
Let's start with this business event that's coming up on Saturday. This event is titled, How Can Small Black Businesses Survive in Washington, D.C.? Why that title, Jamal? What is your concern about the business climate for black businesses in the district?
Well, I think first and foremost, when we think about the black community, we realize that, you know, the struggle that we've had for hundreds of years in this country has been about equity and inclusion. But that's not just on the political front. That's not just the notion of civil and political rights. It's the notion of having economic empowerment, meaning having the dollars and the ability to move those dollars to do what you want to do in this country. And when we think about the notion of what happens in a city like D.C. and what's happening across the country, there's about $1.2 trillion of black buying power, but our money doesn't necessarily stay in the community, doesn't necessarily cycle back into the community. And so when we look at a place like a city like D.C., where there's so much development, so much coming in, we're seeing the business community that's local, the black business community, literally being pushed out. Literally, you know, being replaced by big box stores and chains. And what happens is it shifts the entire way of life, not only for the community, but for the city as a whole. And so when we think about that issue, it's a part of the larger issue connected to gentrification. And it's not just predicated on race, it's connected to class. So for us, it's intrinsic in who we are fundamentally, that if we're not talking about dollars and cents and pocketbook issues and making sure that we're protecting those dollars and cents, then we're not talking about black liberation truly.
Well, that's an interesting point. But let me suggest, for example, as I asked in the beginning of this, is the impact of the new D.C. good, bad, or somewhere in between? Because I certainly just by driving through the heart of the newly constructed, one could argue, gentrified parts of D.C., that there are still a significant number of black businesses, as well as in other parts of the district, that are thriving. Tattoo parlors, for example, hair shops, for example, bars and restaurants, black owned. And so would you say that the climate is just daggone horrible for black businesses right now?
I think the climate and the outlook long term is horrible for black businesses. When you look at a neighborhood, say, you know, you look at Navy Yard or the development happening the Southwest Waterfront, where I actually live, the end game is not to actually preserve those businesses and have a mix of new development, old development, you know, historically owned black-based businesses. The trajectory is to tear everything down, push everyone out, and build new, mm-hmm. and bring in new stores, new infrastructure, new capacity. And what that does is not only does it gut the soul, I think, of the city, but it actually displaces the black community holistically, including the revenue and money that actually built this city. So the outlook is grim in a sense. You go down the H Street corridor, you see it happening. It's not, we want you to stay here and grow with the city. No, we're going to bring in a Whole Foods. we're going to replace you entirely. And it's just chipping away year by year until the whole outlook of the city, or the whole look of the city, if you will, completely is transformed.
I want to talk to you about that point, too, but I want to make sure I bring Bo into this conversation. Bo, you were here 3 years ago. You are the owner of the VIP room in Northeast D.C., family-owned business?
Right. The family's the owner. Right. My mother, Earlene Sampson, Yolanda, Mike, Gary. So it's a family.
You're still in the family, though.
I'm in the family long as they keep me.
So it's a family-owned business, and you were having problems with your liquor license, and you were battling with the city over that, as well as problems with the ANC. What has happened briefly over the past 3 years?
Well, let's get it real quick. What has happened, we went for a license. And an alcohol license, and they said that we qualified. They cast a check. Then five white people got together with two blacks, and they used a bullying campaign to stop us on getting the license. So we suffered from the gentrification because they already approved the license, but they don't want to give us the license, you know. And the thing about it, it's not even about the liquor license. It's about them trying to get our building.
Well, I guess my question is, like I said, you were here three years ago. The business is still there.
Yeah, we're still there. We're still in business. That is because of the people. Okay. You know, the VIP.
Which people?
The people in the community. They've been supporting us. So we're going to always, you know, have an opportunity to be there. We've been in business for over 50 years, and people are moving in. They moved into D.C., and they're trying to control what happens in the community. So they used the bullying campaign to try to stop us for 3 years of operating a business so we can grow. Because everybody's doing the alcohol thing. You know, you can get alcohol from Chuck E. Cheese. You can get alcohol delivered by Uber or Lyft. It's not about the alcohol. You can smoke weed at your house and go in the backyard. So all we wanted is the same rights. We didn't get the same rights as everybody else because we're still fighting something they already promised. We went through the procedure. The ANC voted in our favor. The ANC's on our side, the police department.
So with all of that said,
right.
And now that you have the support of the NAACP,
yes.
Jamal, in your opinion, you know, what's happening here? Not only with what specifically what Bo was talking about, but also, and I hate to describe it like this, is this a conspiracy theory against black businesses?
I would have to argue that I think it's not a conspiracy theory in terms of it being a theory. It's a conspiracy reality, meaning at some point in this city, decisions have been made by elected officials to figure out how do you transform the city? What does the future of this city look like? And when you start making those decisions, which are choices, you have to choose what is D.C. going to be 10 years from now, 15 years from now, et cetera. And we know there's political fights in between that. Certain people got to get elected. But once a person gets elected, if their vision is a vision that says, let's bring in new businesses, let's bring in housing development, let's transform the city in this way, and there is no consideration for the local infrastructure, the local community, the businesses that have been there for 50 years, if that's not a part of the 10-year plan, then it's not so much a conspiracy theory, it's a reality, meaning you're not a part of the vision of the city. And I think what's frustrating about business owners like Bo's family is at the end of the day, they've been here, investing in this city, building this city financially, doing what's necessary to make sure that this city thrives. And so to be pushed out, if you will, because there's a vision to transform the city, it's not a theory, it's a reality. And so I think we're torn by that notion that we want the city to be healthy and to thrive, but not for our historical businesses and businesses that have been here that are benefiting us in our community to just be thrown away as if they don't matter to who we are.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the business climate for black-owned businesses in the new D.C. Give us a call if you have a question or comment. Let's go to Sid. Sid, calling from Herndon, Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, thank you, Harold. I appreciate it. I just dialed in for online and the internet, but I want to just make sure to highlight another area where I see the blacks are being pushed out. Is I grew up in South Arlington, and you see, if you've been into Northern Virginia, Arlington area for over the years, they tore down the old places, old businesses, and build new ones. They make it so expensive that it's not affordable anymore by the middle class or the, you know, the lower income people, because that's a slick way of moving people out of the area. You can't tell, you know, they can't tell you to get out, but they build these expensive apartment buildings and, you know, catering to the different income class. And I'm sure that's, I see that in D.C. as well. You see a lot of the buildings changing, but especially in the housing market, I see that a lot. You know, it's, like I said, in Arlington County and other counties, you know. So I just wanted to make that point, that the brother's right on point, though. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's a reality.
Okay. Sid, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the business climate for black-owned businesses in the new D.C. Before I go to the next call, real quick, Jamal, give me some details about that event on Saturday. I'm sure there are a lot of people who will be interested in attending that event. It is free, by the way.
Yeah, the event is on Saturday, and it's at the VIP lounge, or the VIP room, sorry, on 6201 3rd Street Northwest here in Washington, D.C., from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. It is free of charge.
Yes. Yes, it's free of charge, and it's from 1 to 3, and we're going to talk about issues that work together and issues, problems, and everything.
Is
and
that Northeast is or
Northwest?
Northwest.
Northwest.
What's the address again, please?
6201 3rd Street, at the corner of 3rd and Rittenhouse. And this is just part one. We're going to continue to do this with the NAACP because we want to work together and come to some solutions. There's networking. Everything is involved.
And the information also can be found on NAACPDC.org. That's NAACPDC.org. We've got a lot of people online who want to get in on this conversation and talk about the business climate for black-owned businesses in the District of Columbia. That includes Omar in Silver Spring, Olivia in Manassas, Virginia. I believe that's Akila or Akia in D.C., Charles in Silver Spring. If you're on the line, please do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program, and I promise we will take your phone calls in addition to the other phone calls that are trying to get through. We're going to take as many as we possibly can, so please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Keep trying. If you can't get through, we will be taking your calls. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a few seconds.